He is a good, good father. Amen? Well, I have a question for you as we continue our series, Frequently Asked Questions. How could a good, good father send good people who've never heard about Jesus somewhere around the world to hell? Now, these are questions that are sometimes difficult to answer, and we don't always like the answer we receive. But I believe every word these gentlemen just sang in a beautiful way, that he is a good, good father, and we are loved by him. But there are billions of people separated from God for all eternity right now. How does that balance out with the goodness of God? Well, we're going to look at that today in our second question together. I'll ask you to take your Bible and just go ahead and turn to Romans. It'll be a minute before we get to that scripture, but I want you to go ahead and be there and be ready. I'll tell you where in just a moment. But I want to give you some information. There are currently 7.5 billion people on planet Earth. Now, if you can wrap your mind around that, I'm thankful for you, because it's hard for me to understand billions of people, but 7.5 billion people on the earth. Scientists estimate that since creation, since Adam and Eve first populated the planet, around 108 billion people have lived on this terrestrial ball. 108 billion people. If we believe the Bible, that means there are 108 billion souls in existence today. Are you with me? There's gravity in that thought. And a Christian think tank, a group of very smart theologians came together and then scientists and sociologists and began to look and study the patterns of the world and where Christianity has spread. And the best numbers they can come up with are these, and this is staggering, that of that 108 billion people to ever walk the planet, close to three quarters of those died without ever hearing the gospel message. Now wrap your minds around that. That means by all accounts, hell is much more populated than heaven. That doesn't make you feel as good as the song did, does it? When you stop and you reflect on that idea that of 108 billion people, somewhere close to 75 to 80 billion of those are in hell. And you begin to think of the gravity and the weight of what that means. And our question today, will people who have never heard the name of Jesus really be condemned to hell? This is a very important foundational question for evangelical believers, because how you answer this according to the scripture will determine how you live your life for the rest of your life. And what I've learned is that every question tells a story. Every question really gives a clue, honestly, about the thoughts of the person who's asking the question. And what I've figured out is this question for many people is really more about the goodness of God and the fairness of God. We sing about good, good father, and so the real question is, how could a good, fair God send a good person to hell simply because they've never heard of Jesus? So what I want to do really quickly as we move to the scripture is to break this down into multiple thoughts. And so we'll start with this first thought. The first question really should be, would a good God send a good person to hell? Would a good God send a good person to hell? My answer may shock you. My answer is no. A good God would not send a good person to hell, even if they've never heard of him. You say, what do you mean? I believe without a doubt, absolutely not, that a good God would not send a good person to hell who's never heard of him. Here's the problem. There are no good people on the planet. Now, you may say, oh, but there's some that are pretty good. How good is good enough? It's perfection. So the question starts off wrong to begin with. I don't think a good God would send a good person to hell. But there are no good people on this planet. You may say, but Chris, I feel like I live a pretty good life. Have you ever sinned? Then you have smacked the ever-loving, holy God in the face. It's the same as doing that. We have said, God, I want my own ways, not yours. You're the creator, but this is it. One sin is all it takes. So that's difficult to hear. How do we know no one's good? Romans 3:23. You don't have to turn there, but you can. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Does that say for some have sinned? Yes or no? No. It says for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Now, listen, I know people get upset when the pastor says, would you repeat this? But I'm going to ask you, would you look at the person next to you and say, all means me? Now we're going to get offensive. Tell them, say, all means you. Okay, so all have sinned and fall short. Some of you are like, oh, it really means him. It means him for sure. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Romans 3:10 says this, none is righteous. No, not one. No one understands. No one seeks for God. All have turned aside. Together, they have become worthless. No one does good, not even one. Friends, a good God will not send good people to hell, but there are no good people. So let's ask the question differently. Maybe that will help us. Would a good God condemn a sinful person who has never heard of Jesus to hell? Is it their fault they've never heard of Jesus? Would a good God condemn a sinful person who has never heard of Jesus to hell? The way I would answer that is with a question for you. And here's my question. You think about this in your mind. You don't have to answer out loud. Is a person condemned to hell for never hearing of Jesus? Or is a person condemned to hell for being a sinner who has disobeyed God? Romans chapter 1, if you'll look there, beginning in verse 18. For many people, this is one of the hardest scriptures in the Bible. But there's such truth here, we cannot skip over it. We do not have the right or the ability to pick and choose the verses we like. Romans chapter 1, verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. Verse 19, for what can be known about God is plain to them because God has shown it to them. Verse 20, for his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world in the things that have been made, so they are without excuse. Verse 21, for although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him, but they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man and birds and animals and creeping things. Does that not sound like the idol worship and the pagan worship of the world that's never heard of Jesus? Verse 24, does it not sound like the worship of idols here in America? Verse 24, therefore God gave them up in the lust of their hearts to impurity, to the dishonoring of their bodies among themselves, because they exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the creator who is blessed forever. Amen. This scripture passage, the heavy weight of this passage says that since the beginning of time, God's invisible qualities have even been revealed in nature. So the good news is that God has revealed himself through nature even to those who have never heard of Jesus. But the bad news is when you continue on, it says, but they have taken what little truth they have heard and they have distorted it and made a God in the image of a bird, an animal, themselves. They have distorted that view. So the good news is, yes, God's revealed himself. The bad news is without Jesus, the revelation is not complete. They cannot understand, and always it will turn to worship of self. Always it will turn to worship of false gods. And what we have to conclude from Romans chapter 1 is that hearing or not hearing about Jesus does not exempt us from separation from God. It is not enough to say they've never heard of Jesus, so they must be okay. Listen, if that was the case, then we are wasting our money on missions. We should shut down every missions program we have, never take a trip, never go anywhere, turn off the radio, turn off the live stream, close the windows, make them dark, and never tell a soul what we know, because the more they know, the more they will be responsible and they could go to hell. Let's don't tell anyone about Jesus. But that is the opposite of what the scripture shows. God, in his wisdom, tells us time and time again, go, share, make disciples, tell others, go as you're going, be my witness, be ready to give a defense of the gospel, talk about the truth. Over and over it tells us to go because God knows the truth that people need Jesus. So it is our sin that separates us from God. So my next thing to ask you is this, is it fair to only make one way to have a relationship with God and then withhold that way from billions of people? That might be the next logical question to ask of God. Is it fair to make one way to have a relationship with God and then withhold that way from billions of people? Let me say three things concerning the idea of being fair. This is important that we grasp this as American believers. First, it is dangerous to demand that God be fair with humanity. If we start demanding that God be fair, let me tell you, the end of that road is hell for everybody. We cannot say that we deserve the grace of God. In fact, in the 19 years that I have been connected to this church in one form or fashion, you have heard me say probably at least 20 times from the pulpit over the course of those years, this following phrase, and that is this: anything above burning in hell is a privilege. Now listen, think about that. Things get bad, stop and tell yourself, anything above burning in hell is a privilege. Some of you get hot in here today, feels pretty good to me right now, I'm not even sweating. That's hard to believe. So somebody in here is cold is what I know. But I can say to you, if I get hot, anything above burning in hell is a privilege. You stop and think about something bad going on at home, anything above burning in hell is a privilege. All of us, if God were fair, would be destined for hell. So what I would encourage you to realize is this: God is kind, and he is a good, good father, and he is gracious. And he made a way to escape wrath. He made a way to walk in relationship with him. So hear me say this. He is kind. He is gracious. He is good. But you better thank God himself that he is not fair as we deem fair, because we would all be in trouble. So that's the first idea of fair, is we don't want to walk down that road. The second idea of fair would be this. It is more than fair that Jesus is the only way to salvation. In fact, that's a gracious gift that God has given us. Would you turn to Romans 10? You're in Romans 1. Turn to the right a few pages, Romans chapter 10. We'll start in verse 9. It is more than fair that Jesus is the only way to salvation. Look at Romans 10, verse 9. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Amen. Verse 10, for with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. For the scripture says, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. Verse 12, for there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Listen, that's worth an amen. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Verse 14, how then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? And as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. So right here, Paul quotes from the Old Testament. How beautiful are the on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news. What he is saying here is that we're all called to preach. To preach means to announce. You and I are called to be those beautiful feet that announce the good news of Jesus. I love Paul's straightforward thinking. It's a series. Look at it really quick from that scripture. He says the only way to be saved is to call on Jesus' name. The only way to call on Jesus' name is to believe the gospel. The only way to believe the gospel is to know the gospel. The only way to hear the gospel is to be told the gospel. It's a very simple process that we all can understand. So we must tell people about Jesus so they can believe the gospel and then respond in faith to him. God graciously promises that everyone who calls on the name of Jesus will be saved. So that's my second idea of fair. It is more than fair that Jesus is the only way. In fact, it's gracious that we have a way at all. But let's look at this third idea of fair, and that is this. It's really directed at us. Are we being fair in having received the salvation of Jesus, yet we tend to tell the same people over and over about Jesus while there are billions who have yet to hear about him the first time? We tend to share the gospel with the same people time and time again when there are billions of people on this planet who've never heard it one time. As a pastor who loves missions and who has served on the mission field and who has really wanted to challenge our congregation that already loves missions on its own, but to challenge us all to catch that vision and do that, every now and then I will have a detractor, someone that will come to me and meet with me, or a lot of times just tell somebody else who will tell me. They'll say, why don't we focus more at home on our own people? Respectfully, I think God would ask you, how do you define your own? Because his own is 7.5 billion people on this planet. I think that we would stop and say that they are all his, all of them. They all need to hear about God. They all need an opportunity to respond to the name of Jesus. And I have a hard statement to make, but I want to make it. The gospel is for all humanity, not just convenient humanity. It's convenient to share with those right here, but the gospel's for everyone. Oswald Smith says this, we talk about the second coming of Christ and half of the world's never heard of the first. William Booth has an incredible quote, and many of you would know and have heard of William Booth before, an incredible Methodist minister who did incredible things for the gospel. And this is what he says. It's convicting to me. He says, not called, did you say? Not heard the call, I think you should say. Put your ear down to the Bible and hear him bid you go and pull sinners from the fire of sin. Put your ear down to the burdened, agonized heart of humanity and listen to its pitiful wail for help. Go stand by the gates of hell and hear the damned beg you to go to their father's house and their brothers and sisters and servants and masters and bid them not to come here. And then look Jesus in the face, whose mercy you have professed to obey, and tell him whether you will join him heart and soul and body and circumstance to march to publish his mercies to the world. Listen, all of us, myself included, we are called to carry this gospel to the world. And if we ever for once forget that, all we have to imagine is what those in hell would say today. Please, go tell my family. All we have to begin to imagine is what those in this world who have never heard of him would say if they only knew what was coming for them in eternity. Please, come help me know the truth. But the good news for us is that we have been trying our best to do just that. And we do not simply try to take it to the othermost parts of the world, right here in Albertville as well. That's why we pray. That's why we give. That's why we go. That's why here we support ministries like the Great Physician Clinic in the back part of our building. As people have their teeth pulled, as they have their eyes examined and glasses are brought to them, God is bringing the nations right here inside our building in the back part of the clinic. And every week the gospel is shared and people have an opportunity to respond. Someone doesn't get saved every week, but a seed is planted every week. And then when the time is right, there are people who give their lives to the Lord. So friends, I'm telling you, that gospel call to go, it happens in the dental chairs and the eye clinic right back here. That's why we support ministries like the Real Life Pregnancy Center in Albertville and Gunnersville. That's why we give and we go and we pray and we have volunteers who serve, because we know that every time a woman comes in crisis, they get to hear the gospel. And some, yes, they reject it, but others turn to him. There are incredible stories of life change that come from that and lives that are saved. That's why we support the Messiah Haitian Baptist Church. I was meeting with Pastor Dukinson yesterday, and this September, that church will celebrate its fifth anniversary. Can you believe that? 5 years ago that Pastor Dukinson and his wife left the safety of this congregation to step out into our city to start a church to reach Haitians in our community, and God's blessing immensely. They're going to baptize someone in our service even next week here. God is at work. And so what I would say to you, that's why we also support other local ministries like Second Chance Food Pantry, where hundreds and hundreds of boxes of food are given out every month in the name of Jesus. That's why we have the Cahill Kids Club on Thursday, and what happens there as children are ministered to. That's why we have Vacation Bible School like this past week. I'm so proud of our faith family. Well over 100 workers showed up every night after busy and long days, showed up to love on children. And I may be partial, but I really believe, having been a part of a lot of Vacation Bible Schools here over the years, this was our best one ever. To be able to see adults and senior adults meeting with those kids on a regular basis around the dinner table, having great family conversations, to see adult men who are able to work because it's at night to serve, to be able to come and serve in different capacities and love on children and share the gospel with them, to see people come and do all the different things that took place. We are blessed to do that, and it's part of the call to go. But the reason that we also go is because there are others. It's why we have partnerships in New Jersey, in Belize, in Brazil, in Uganda, in Ghana, in Lebanon, in Central Asia, in Kenya. It's why we're going to the Dominican Republic next week. It's why we're going to Kentucky this coming week, on and on. It's why we support thousands of missionaries through the North American Mission Board and through the International Mission Board. And we have missionaries serving literally around the world because you are being faithful to give and to pray for them. Why? Why? Because the world needs Jesus, and without Jesus, they are separated from God for eternity. We have to understand the hard truth of that. Matthew chapter 28, verse 19 and 20 says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." Is it the end of the age yet? Not yet. He's still with us. We can still go. So let's go while we have an opportunity. If I were to say what the greatest sin of the Church of America is today, and I don't mean this church, I mean the church at large, what I would believe to be the greatest sin of the Church of America is this. I wrote it down this way. The Great Commission has become the great omission for many American believers. Instead of saying it's the Great Commission, I will go and do this, it's become the great omission. Well, that's not for me. We'll pay someone to do that. We'll pray for them. That's for those missionaries. God has called us all to go. You, me, every last one of us. Friends, I would simply tell you this. The world needs Jesus. We have Jesus. That pretty much settles it, doesn't it? We must share Jesus. Today, as we will conclude a little early, we want to have a little longer prayer time here. I want to encourage you to pray for your friends who need Jesus. There's not a person in this room that doesn't know someone who needs to know the Lord. Would you pray that the Holy Spirit would work in their heart and that God will let you live out the Great Commission and tell them? Then would you pray for those that are near us that you don't even know who need Jesus? Because there are a lot of people around who have yet to understand who he is and what he's doing. Then would you pray for those all around the world that we could easily say, "I don't really think they're my neighbor. I don't," it says, "love your neighbor as yourself. I don't even know where they are. I don't know that they could be considered my neighbor." Listen, I think the scripture would be pretty clear that all the entire world are people that God loves, and he would desire that we would go. You are his plan A. There is no plan B. So pray that God would allow us the opportunity to do that. Pray that God would give us opportunity to share him with others. And if you say, but Chris, it's just still hard for me to wrap my mind around the idea that God would literally send someone to eternal separation from him simply because they've never heard of Jesus. If you start down that road thinking that that would be okay, that's called inclusivism. And very quickly, you fall away from the scripture because it's just not there. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. We can believe the scripture or not. I, for one, want to believe it. And so the pressure is not on God. Why haven't you sent people there? Because listen, I can tell you where Greg Johnson is serving in Central Asia as he sends videos back and shows us what's happening, and we will show those with the church at some point. When as all that takes place and we see he's moving into new villages where people have never heard the gospel. They've never heard about Jesus. And we cannot look at those places because they're beautiful. And we cannot look at those people because they're beautiful. It would be wrong to look at them and say, well, that's a God-forsaken place. No, there are no God-forsaken places. There are only church-forsaken places. The church has forsaken them. So we must go. I want to encourage you, give like you've never given before so that we can make a difference for missions in the world. Pray like you've never prayed before. And go like we've never gone before. For some of us in this room, that means going to the neighbor next door and saying, look, I want you to know that I love you, God loves you. If I can ever help you come to know him more, you let me know. That's a simple conversation. For some of us, it means going somewhere, to the coworker at work, to someone or relative. Lots of family reunions and gatherings happening this summer. You've got that relative that's never responded to the call of Christ. Maybe for you, the call to go is just to go to the family reunion. Tell them about Jesus. For some, it is to go to those church-forsaken places on the planet where the gospel has not reached yet, where people will be added to that vast number of untold billions who spend eternity in hell if we do not get there in time. I'm not trying to make you feel guilty. What I'm trying to do is help you and I both to realize that the weight of responsibility is on our shoulders to sow the seeds. God has to do the saving, but he's called us to sow the seeds. Thank you for sowing seeds this week in Vacation Bible School. Thank you for sowing seeds this week in Kentucky, next week in the Dominican, on Wednesday nights here, on Sundays at Cahill, in various places. Thank you for doing that. But let's not look at the corporate. Let's look at individuals. What can we as individuals do, realizing that those who've never heard of Jesus do die lost, realizing that those who have heard of him and not responded, no matter how good they might be, they still die lost. They need Jesus. He is the answer. You have the answer. We must go share the answer. Would you pray with me? I'm going to ask, with your heads bowed, that you would prayerfully consider your part in this. It's a pretty heavy topic. But I stop and think about my own life and how I have been blessed by the salvation and grace of God, and how foolish that would be to keep that just for myself and my circle of influence, but that I need to be willing to go to neighbors, to strangers in town, to people in remote parts of the world. Heads bowed still for just a moment. In a little over a week, there'll be seven of us from here that will actually walk into a garbage dump in the middle of the Dominican Republic, where close to 200 people live in a dump, no house, no nothing, waiting for the next truck to come in to drop the garbage to give them their food they will survive on. And we'll be able to share the gospel there. Tell them about Jesus, provide some food, share a message. This coming week, there will be children and adults going to rural Appalachia, different parts of Kentucky, where they're going to be, where there's some pretty strong poverty and other great needs. where there's been a lot of hopelessness. And they'll be able to show the hope of Jesus to people in need right here close by. But those require getting in a vehicle and going. What if you and I just simply said today, Father, I will go where you send me, and let that start right here. Next door, across the street, at work, at the restaurant today, smiling at that server and telling them God loves them, being generous to them, praying for them. If you've got a family member that doesn't know Jesus, I'm going to ask you to come and pray for them. Pray that the Holy Spirit will invade their soul and do a work in their life, and that God will give you the privilege to help reap the harvest. If you've got a coworker that doesn't know Jesus, I want to ask you to come and pray for them. And most importantly, if you can't think of anyone you know that is lost, I want to ask you to lead the way to the altar and pray and ask God to give you an acquaintance, a friend, someone who doesn't know him, so that you can be a part of that great commission plan as well. And then would you pray for God to move in power? It will be great to continue to stir the baptistry waters next Sunday and to continue to see more and more come to Jesus in the next few weeks and months. Father God, have your way among us. And may we never stop and demand that the answers to tough questions be what makes us feel better. May we always look at the truth of the scripture and then say, by God's grace, I will live this out, that we get to show the grace of God to the world. Lord, let it be on us. Let us take the responsibility, and because you've empowered us to do it, let us live that out here and around the world. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. We're going to stand together.